Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Welcome back to the Soar to Success podcast. Each month, we talk with our featured expert, the person who's on the cover of our magazine that month. And today, my guest is Lisa Ryan. By living her mission to change the world one thank you at a time, Lisa helps her clients develop employee engagement initiatives and strategies that keep their top talent and best clients from becoming someone else's. She's an award-winning speaker and the best-selling author of 8 books. Her clients appreciate her real-world insight, high-content message, and the immediately actionable ideas contained in her fun, interactive, and engaging workshops and programs. I'm sure you're going to enjoy hearing from Lisa today as well. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa.
Hey, Pat, thanks for having me here.
Oh, I'm so excited for people to hear from you. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Why don't you fill people in a little bit more about what it is exactly that you do, but then more importantly, the why that motivates you to do it?
Sure. I actually work with organizations to help them keep their top talent from becoming someone else's. Now, you might be saying, well, how exactly do you do that?
Yeah.
Primarily, keynote workshops. I do consulting. I facilitate retreats. I do training. I really work with organizations to create that culture of appreciation. And we do it in a lot of different ways, depending on exactly the client needs, what they're looking for. And I help them design a program that will help them to not only attract the best candidates that are on the market for positions, but once they get them on board, to keep them from taking their skills and, you know, going down the street and them losing all that time, all that money that it took to bring them on board in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. And so why is it that you do it?
You know, I had an experience. It was back in 2009 with a gratitude journal. I was keeping a gratitude journal with some friends we went to a 4-day intensive seminar. When we came out of the seminar, we wanted to be able to keep that same level of energy. So basically, we opened up a Facebook thread. We wrote down, we shared with each other the things that we learned, the experiences that we had, and we started, one of my friends said, why don't we write down 3 things that we're grateful for? Okay, did that every day and held each other accountable. And because of that simple practice that I went into with no expectation, it was something that I did with friends, my life changed pretty dramatically. And I knew that this was a message that I wanted and needed to bring to the world. I've been wanting to be a speaker basically my whole life. It showed up on my goal list for the first time in 1987.
Oh my goodness.
Of course, I was 6 when I wrote that, if you're doing the math. But I never really knew what my message was. I was in sales, but I really didn't want to speak about sales. I had done some network marketing, but again, that didn't resonate with me. And when I discovered this power of gratitude, I knew it was to the core of my being, like the gates opened, the angels sang, and I knew that was the message. And I also realized that it wasn't quite a message that corporate America was ready for at the time. So that's when it got changed a little bit to that employee engagement, retention, and recognition. It's the same stories, the same concept, but we're taking that power. Mother Teresa once said, we're more starved for appreciation than we are for bread.
Oh, yeah.
And when we take this into the workplace, it makes a huge difference. We don't normally associate gratitude with corporate America. You know, we just look at it in a different way. But that's my why. My why is to change the world one thank you at a time.
Wow, that is amazing. Okay, Lisa, so why don't you go ahead and share with us what you enjoy the most about traveling around being a speaker?
You know, I love making that connection with the audience with a message that resonates with them personally and professionally. Because I know that my message will help them in the workplace, will help them to be more profitable and productive and all of that. And I also know that when they take some of the steps that we talk about during my programs and start to implement them for themselves, they're going to see a difference with their spouse and with their kids and with, you know, the other people in their life, family members that maybe they've had some struggles with. So I always, when I'm going into a program, I just know that I'm there for one person. And I'm not always sure who that person is. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll come up to me at the end and I know exactly, you know, and they'll tell me their story or what resonated with them. The other thing I love is with my gratitude thought of the week, my short inspirational message that seems to come out at exactly the right time, that I get beautiful emails from people every week sharing with me their stories and how they, you know, what they learned or what they implemented or what happened to them when they started keeping a gratitude journal. So it's very, very gratifying work.
That sounds like it. And I'm really glad that people do reach out to you after they get your emails so that you're not just sending it out to the ethers and you don't know. So it's really wonderful that they are impacted so much that they take that moment to write you their story.
Yeah, yeah, they do. And it's funny because then when I will call people from time to time, you know, for just out of the blue, I think that I'm doing a cold call because I don't necessarily know this person or, you know, know them well. And they're like, oh my God, you're calling me. I forget. These are people that they hear from me every week. So, yes. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when we get, when we watch a TV show and we get, you know, into the characters and we feel like we know them.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's cool. So I was at the Connector's Choice Awards last year and I saw that you won 2015 yes. Corporate Event Speaker of the Year. And so what did winning that award mean to you?
It was such a journey. And I have to go back to, I think that was the fourth time I was nominated and the second time that I made it into the finals. Mm-hmm. And the first time I made it into the finals was 2014. And honestly, I thought that I had it. Mm-hmm. I looked at the competition. I looked at what I had done with my speaking and I was like, oh yeah, I got this. Mm-hmm. And I was to the point that I was so confident that I bought a table at the event. I invited 10 of my friends. I wanted everybody around so they can see me get this award.
You know what? This is reminding me of Hillary Clinton recently.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank
yeah.
you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, see, mine had a happy story ending. I don't think that she's happy yet, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
So when the envelope was read, it was opened, and it wasn't me, and I was devastated. I honestly wanted to run out of the theater, cry, and, you know, just hide my head in the sand. But then when I looked around at my friends that I had invited to be with me that evening, I realized that none of them thought any less of me because I didn't win.
Yeah.
And the woman who did win, you know, she had her 102-year-old grandma in the audience with her and, you know, who had mm-hmm. been telling her since she was a kid that, you know, you talk so much, you should make money at it. So it was the lesson that it wasn't my year.
Yeah.
And I was able to let it go. As much as it hurt and it was devastating at the second that it happened, it really, in the scheme of things, wasn't a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And so when I won it, it was one of those that I was honored to have been nominated and then, of course, to have made it to that. But I don't want to say that it didn't put any effort into it, but I didn't put the same level because, you know, frankly, I didn't want to get hurt and embarrassed again and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I, when I was there, it was at 10 minutes before I left for the event. I said, well, I might as well create an acceptance speech just in case I make it. Thank goodness I did because I actually used it. But I think that there's something about that letting life happen, going in and being optimistic, but not putting so much effort on the end result and being okay with whatever happened. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the first time it took a couple minutes and then I was okay. And the cool thing about being a speaker is when really bad things happen to you, you just make stories about it and share it from the stage.
Yeah, so, exactly.
it just becomes material.
So it sounds like that became a really good story with a really good lesson.
I have a couple really great videos using that story. And I shared the link to the video with the woman who beat me for CBC a couple years ago. But as far as from my speaking, it has really helped because when you win an award, when you can say that you are an award-winning speaker, it puts you in a different pool. Mm-hmm. And from a marketing standpoint as well, you know, it's like I was chosen. I made it up and above, you know, more than 100 nominations, getting into the final five and going through that process. And that says something. And it's absolutely magical to be acknowledged like that. But, you know, the best part about the whole thing that night is when I came back to the table with my award and my husband was there and he was crying. He had little tears in his eyes. And you know, and that's why I do it. You know, I love to see my husband smile. I love his support. Without him, I wouldn't be able to do any of what I'm doing. Yeah. So that award was not only for me, but it was an acknowledgement to him that, okay, she's pretty good at this and she should continue.
That is so awesome. That is great. So what's your vision for your life in the future?
My vision is to continue to do what I'm doing, and I'm really focusing on 2017 and bringing my business more local, because I'm focusing on employee engagement in the manufacturing sector. Mm-hmm. And living in the Rust Belt as I do in Cleveland, Ohio, with access to Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Illinois, right in driving distance, mm-hmm. I feel that it's, and I still want to travel the country and hopefully soon the world, bringing my message. And I really want to have the opportunity to build stronger, longer lasting, deeper relationships, working with clients, doing more training versus it being always the keynote, you know, the sage on the stage and then you're off to the next. Yes. I really want to create deeper relationships this year. So that's my focus.
That sounds fabulous. I know you'll be great at that. Here's a question for you, Lisa, that I ask everyone that's on this podcast. And that is, as you travel around and you see lots of people and you know for yourself, what are three top traits that you notice in individuals that you think if they have those traits, they're likely to soar to success? And what would you say those three would be?
The first is that sense of gratitude, of being able to look at life and not just when good, big, wonderful things happen, but to really, you know, have that gratitude practice, have a journal, writing down 3 to 5 things every day that you're grateful for. And they can be little things. I'm grateful the sun's shining today. I'm grateful I'm in a warm house when it's 3 degrees outside.
Right.
I'm grateful that I have reliable transportation. You know, just so many things. I'm glad that I have clean running water, you know, flushing toilets, showers. There's so many things that we take for granted. And I think that sense of gratitude and awe as we look at the so many blessings that we have, that's the number one trait. Number two is persistence. Nothing comes overnight. I can't tell you how many people to hear about these overnight successes, quote unquote, that it took 20 years for them to be an overnight success. It's rare that it happens in my career, in what I've done. I've always said it pays to be the last one standing. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, when I started my speaking business, I had a lot, I wouldn't say a lot of, but several other friends that we started at the exact same time. I'm still standing. Mm-hmm. They're not. Mm-hmm. I believe that the only way that you can fail in life, in your chosen career, in speaking, is by quitting. Mm-hmm. And by not quitting, having that sense of persistence, being the last one standing, that's how you succeed. And finally, and they're all important, but this one, have a sense of humor, for the love of all that's good. When you can just look at life, and I love this equation that says pain plus time equals humor. Bad things happen to us. You know what? They happen all the time to us. And, you know, we have a choice. We can wallow, or we can say, well, at some point in the future, I'm going to laugh about this. So why not begin now?
Yes, exactly.
And we just, life is a funny, funny thing. And, you know, and people do stupid things, and stupid things happen. And, but we can't get so caught up in that, that we lose our ability to laugh, that we lose our sense of humor, that we find that one thing that brings us joy. For me, it's the show The Big Bang Theory. I know that when I watch that show every Thursday, I guess, we've DVR it, so I don't have to know what days it's on. But I know that I will get a belly laugh. Mm-hmm. That used to happen when Desperate Housewives was on, but that's a whole nother story. But it's finding something that you can laugh from the heart and get into the habit of just laughing, you know, with yourself, at yourself, but also finding things outside of yourself, like that show that just happens to make you laugh and brings out that true, honest-to-goodness belly laugh that is awesome.
Yeah, those are really great traits. Thanks for sharing them. And I know that volunteering is a big part of your life. And also, I understand that you're the president of the Ohio chapter of the National Speakers Association. So tell me a little bit about that. How, what drove you to get involved in that group?
Well, actually, my friend Betsy Muller, who's another show host, is the person that invited me to my very first NSA meeting, National Speakers Association, not the other one. But I walked into that first meeting, and Cordell Norton was the president at the time. And within 5 minutes of being in there, and this was in 2009, of being in that room with all those speakers, of people following their passion, I looked at Cordell and I said, I want his job. And so 6 years in the making, I started, I became a professional member. I joined the board immediately. I've been serving on the board for 6 years. I still am finishing up my second year. I was asked to serve back-to-back years as president, and then I'll have one more year serving as past president. And then I have national aspirations. But the thing that I love about NSA, and it's with any person who's involved in a particular industry, to really get involved with your industry's associations, to hang out with people that understand what you do, that, that love what they do, so that you can get those ideas, that you can, you know, learn from the best type of experience, which of course is other people's experience. And I believe that NSA has dramatically reduced my learning curve by, it's taken years off my struggling as a speaker to really create the business that I've been able to build.
Yes. And then the speakers that come to the meetings in Ohio are just extraordinary. You guys have done a really great job of making an agenda for the year full of powerful speakers.
And that trend will continue.
Yeah, excellent. That's good. And one thing I just noticed from Facebook was that over the holidays, you were involved with some big volunteer work. Can you tell me more about that?
I've been involved for the past 7 years with the Tour of Good Cheer. The Tour of Good Cheer was started by my good friend, Dick Clough. This was the 32nd tour. Dick, at the time, 32 years ago. He was an alcoholic. He had just gotten divorced. He was depressed over the holidays, and he decided to take a couple toys to St. Vincent Charity Hospital. And that made him feel good, so the next year he did it again. And then the next year he invited a couple of his friends, and so on and so on. Well, Dick's been sober for more than 20 years now, so the tour of good cheer has a different feel than it did back in the day. But we have now graduated from one person handing out toys to St. Vincent Charity to having Lakeways Trails. I'm totally blanking.
Okay.
Anyway, they donated 4 buses this year.
Oh, wow.
We had 2 buses with elves. We had about 80 people, 40 to 45 on each bus, so 80 to 90 people total on the tour. We went to 10 different stops. One bus was nothing but coats. We had over 500 coats that we gave out to the needy and homeless in Cleveland. And then there was one bus of nothing but toys. One of the elves that is on the tour, he actually works for a sanitation department in a city. And when people are throwing out, you know, like Little Tykes toys and trucks and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. he actually takes them out of the trash, refurbishes them, rebuilds them, cleans them up.
Wow.
And then instead of ending up in a dumpster, they go to a needy child the following year.
Wow.
So this year we served 950 people. We gave out, I believe Dick said, about 15,000 pieces of merchandise. And this is primarily, and it's just rewarding. We go to several churches. We go to homeless centers. The Cleveland Police Department has a place that they put together in the 4th District that they invite the neediest families in their district to come and bring their kids. There's usually about 150 kids that go through the line.
Mm-hmm.
And the police, I have to give it up for the Cleveland Police, because they also give us a police escort, which is the coolest thing. Because for an entire night, we do not stop at a single red light. We have 3 Cleveland policemen that bring us through at full speed, so we're able to spend more time, instead of sitting in traffic, we're able to spend more time with these families and really bring the Christmas to them. It's a magical night.
It sounds like it. That is just fantastic. How do you find time in your busy schedule to volunteer?
You know, it just all works. I really don't know what to tell you. The week before the tour, I marked it off on my calendar, so I didn't schedule anything as far as traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some control over my schedule. But you know what? When things are important, you just find time for them, or things open up. I'm constantly in awe of how things open up the way that they're supposed to. And that's one of the ways that I determine, am I supposed to be doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not room on the calendar, and if I can't make it happen, I have to be okay with saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be okay with letting some things go. Because, yeah, I can get way in over my head. My plate is very full. And I have learned the art of politely saying no, because I can't do everything.
Yeah.
But the things that are important to me, yes, I certainly do those all day long. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is excellent. Well, it has been so much fun talking to you, Lisa. Can you tell our listeners how they can reach you? What's the best way for them to connect with you?
Sure. My website is Grategy.com, which is Grategy.com, as in gratitude strategies. On my website, you'll find there, you can sign up for Gratitude Thought of the Week, which again, my short inspirational message. It seems to show up when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mention that you heard me on this show, I will also send you my special report, 101 Awesome Ways to Say Thank You. By email is Lisa@Grategy.com. Lisa is the regular way, LISA. My mother was not fancy.
Great. Perfect. Well, that is really great. So Lisa, it has been so fabulous to hear a little bit more about your life and and all the good that you're doing in the world right now. I really appreciate that you took a moment to speak to us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Pat. Thanks again for inviting me to be on.
Okay, I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.